It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket with your host, Dr. Tio Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 888-787-1310.
Good Saturday morning, everyone. Good Saturday morning, and welcome to Inside Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. T.O. Soriao, live in the studio on this cold, blustery Saturday morning in North Texas. We are very grateful for you joining us this morning. We have a lot to get to in this next hour. You're going to have a chance to call in. We will take calls on the bottom of the hour. People are complaining that we're not having enough time to take calls, but we're going to correct that. And hopefully you're going to learn something. Joining me this morning, Dr. Ballard, Dr. Blumenthal. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Doc.
Well, we have a lot to get to in this new format. It's only an hour, but we pack it in.
Does that mean we have to talk twice as fast?
We don't have to talk twice as fast, but...
No, that means the listeners have to listen twice as fast.
We're not going to... we're not going to talk about our favorite fries anymore.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is. I want to start off...
What about that breakfast you guys owe me? We had a little bet last week.
What's funny, you should say that.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah. Well, the bet was the national championship game, and it was breakfast at our usual spot, which you guys have kind of...
Are we going to plug them and give them a plug? Maple Leaf Cafe?
Maple Leaf Cafe, best breakfast in Dallas. Do we get a free one if we keep plugging them?
I doubt it, but... So the bet was on the national championship. I thought Alabama was going to win. Obviously, I was wrong. I
think, and so did Dr. Ballard.
So did Ballard, yep. But obviously, we were wrong. But it's funny that you went there, because that's what I wanted to start with. So Alabama's big star, wide receiver, skinny as a rail but fast as lightning, blew out his ACL, non-contact. Obviously, everybody saw it on national TV. You texted me a bunch of people texted me as soon as it happened. Does that look like an ACL? And yes, it did. It was textbook. That's what it looks like. That's what a non-contact looks like. The knee just shifts, and in slow motion, you can see it happen. And inside the knee, what happens is the ACL, which is strung between the femur and the tibia like a rubber band, snaps. It frays. And so when we go in there with a scope to fix it, it looks like a frayed mop and rope.
And you don't actually fix it.
You replace it. A long time ago, back in the 50s and 60s, there was an attempt to repair it with stitches. They didn't hold. They failed within the first couple of years and realized that that's not a way to do it. And what ended up happening, and by the way, we're doing the same procedure now we did in the 70s. Bill Clancy from University of Wisconsin said, wait, why don't we just substitute? Why don't we just put a new one in? And he took a piece of the patellar tendon and he put it where the old ACL used to be, and it worked. And we're still doing that now.
Yeah.
Same procedure now that we
did.
Is
he still alive?
Clancy? I don't know.
I actually got to meet him.
I did too. Yeah. I did too. Great guy.
Chain smoker.
Chain smoker in clinic.
Yeah.
It was weird. Your doctor walks into the room with a cigarette in his mouth. Anyway, those were different days. But so we all witnessed it. And then the pundits were all second-guessing whether it's Jameson, right? Jameson Williams? That's his name, I think.
Who?
The young man that tore his ACL, the wide receiver. Everybody was second-guessing whether he should have played.
Hmm?
Yes. Dude, it's a national championship.
And isn't he Potentially still a first-round draft pick?
Absolutely.
And people come back from ACLs. So our buddy Hall of Famer Tim Brown had an ACL in his career, and early in his career, and he had a Hall of Fame career after that.
So this is where the sports medicine comes in. And we've talked about this, oh my gosh, since episode one. By the way, this is episode 830.
Wow.
We've talked about this since episode, the risk-reward equation. So, yes, you're going to be a lottery pick. Does the NFL have a lottery?
No.
Okay. You're going to be a first-round
pick. It's based on inverse merit.
Right.
Record.
You're going to be there. And what's the risk versus of getting injured in that game versus the reward of winning the national championship? And that risk-reward equation is different for every individual. It's their call.
You would never miss a national. You might miss a minor bowl, but you would never sit out a national championship game. Period. End of story.
I don't know, Scott. I mean, we're talking about a national championship game, and who knows? This kid may have lost millions of dollars because of that injury alone. I mean,
well, that's what Marcus Spears was saying. Marcus Spears, who we all know very well, is one of the pundits that said, "I would never play in a bowl game." And as much as I like him and I respect what he has to say, I disagree with that. It's not your call. It is the young man's call, his parents, his mom and dad. I'm sure he's got an agent. It's their call. If this was the Idaho famous potato bowl against a 6-7 team.
That's different.
It is different. It is absolutely different. And I have no problem with guys backing out.
And I will tell you, as a potential drafter, you want someone who puts team ahead of individual. It's you can't let your team down. If you're the top wide receiver and he's, I don't think so because it's going to hurt my draft pick, and you lose the game.
What are you telling the rest of the players?
What are you telling your team?
Brad, what is your thinking? Because you obviously disagree with me. I want to know what your thinking is. It is the national championship.
Well, there's no obvious disagreement. I can see both sides is all I'm saying. I mean, you got to look at this receiver. You said, I mean, he's a blue chip athlete, you know, first rounder. I could easily see why someone wouldn't want to play. I could easily see why Marcus Spears said, I wouldn't play in a bowl game because it's not monetarily beneficial for these kids who are actually going to go play in the National Football League one day. Like, but I get the fact that, yes, team comes first. You want to win a national championship. But look at. I'm curious what's going to happen as a result of this because I don't know if there's been an injury like that in a national championship that's been, you know, season ending. And even if he had surgery now, I don't know, Doc. You can let us know. I mean, his potential to start playing next year, even if he gets drafted.
No, he's out.
Pretty late. It's going to be pretty late.
He'll miss his first year. So here's the thing, though. And I don't want you to misunderstand. It's not that I don't see what Marcus Spears is talking about. I clearly understand it. But if you're using the risk-reward equation for everything, if you're using the risk-reward equation for taking an aspirin, if you're using the risk-reward equation for a preseason game, if you're using a risk-reward equation for an exhibition in Berlin, which, by the way, we went through that with Dirk, if you use that risk-reward equation, gosh, it sure does tilt towards the reward side if you're talking about a national championship.
Easy. And we're kind of two against one here.
What? No. We all see the same thing. I absolutely see what Marcus Spears is talking about. I understand it. But gosh.
But you don't agree.
If you have guys opting out of the national championship game, then all of a sudden the entire college football playoff goes out the window.
Right.
It's done.
Yeah. You just can't.
Just taken an institution and erased it with an eraser.
Yeah. Well,
do you think Alabama's going to go play college football for academics? I mean, these kids are trying to play in the National Football League and have a, like, long career and be able to take care of not only themselves and their families. And I don't know what's going to happen as a result of this guy's injury. I really don't. But imagine if somebody had an injury as significant as the linebacker from Notre Dame.
Yeah. Horrible injury.
Destroyed his knee.
Horrible injury. The fact that the Cowboys even took him was a miracle.
Yeah.
But horrible injury. ACL, PCL, MCL, every L you can think of, and a nerve on top of that.
Right, but that's...
Jalen Smith, I think, is his name. Yeah.
Now, speaking of academics, in Notre Dame, do you see the bus is going back to school to get his degree?
Jerome Pettis?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, he's at Notre Dame. He had a selfie picture on campus, and he said, I promised that I would get my degree when I was done playing, and he's back getting his degree.
That is so cool. I completely forgot he went there.
Very
anyway,
cool.
So I want to go back to this. And I want to... Bradley, Bradford, I see exactly what you're saying. I wanted to use the long version, and I
What is the long version?
It's Bradford.
Bradford.
It's Bradford.
Yeah.
I like that. It's very distinguished.
I wanted to use the long version. I absolutely understand what you're saying, but it is a double-edged sword. So
it is.
You play for the team, you cut your teeth on the team, throwing you the passes and building up your stats. And then when it comes down to the finish line, you say, all right, I'm done?
No.
I mean, that's the tough part. Again, if it was the Idaho Famous Potato Bowl, I absolutely get it. The reward is not there. But if it's the Senior Bowl and you're trying to get a spot, yeah, you're going to play. Look, it's a tough one, and I don't know where people fall on this. The good news is ACLs have a really good track record. He will miss a year. My gut is that whoever was going to pick him is still going to pick him.
Yeah.
They're just going to put it a year later. And, Brad, I don't know if he's going to lose millions or not. I don't know. All right, quick little break, then coming back, Inside Sports Medicine, episode 830, live, coming right back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine.
I guess on our shortened format, we don't have time to talk about the Beatles series on whatever. I don't know. I don't remember what it's on. Disney, I think.
Disney I haven't Plus. Seen it yet.
It's called Get Back, isn't it?
I think so.
Yep, the Get Back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. T.O. Soriel, live in the studio. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Quick review, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up or thumbs down on what?
You didn't say it. I couldn't get through it. It was hyped up. I thought it was boring.
The Beatles thing?
Yeah, thumbs down.
Oh, interesting.
And I expected to be riveted by it. Was not.
I want to start off this segment by acknowledging our sponsors, the Center for Disc Replacement, Gatorade, Breg, GE Imaging. We have we're very proud at Texas Sports Medicine to have a slew of corporate sponsors. Jaguar Land Rover of Dallas. We have a bunch of these corporate sponsors who've supported us throughout the years, and we're very, very proud of this relationship.
Jaguar Land Rover?
Yeah, believe it or not. It's a long, complicated story. I'll get to it later, but more than just a medical practice.
That's cool.
More than just a medical practice.
Well,
so
and we walk the walk.
Our newest partners, specifically Gatorade, we are going to be somewhat of a beta test center, whereas if they have a new product, especially for the forever athlete, this type of protein supplement or whatever, we are going to be able to test that product by allowing our patients to use and give us feedback. So we're excited about that
possibility. Did you license sports water to them?
I did not. They already have a water.
I know, but they would be a very effective marketing group for sports water.
Winter Pitch Sports Water.
Yeah.
Our sponsor.
But we all know that sports water is a tongue-in-cheek thing, so I can't legitimately pitch it. Anyway.
Oh, next thing you're going to tell me is Santa Claus isn't real.
I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to bring it up.
Good job, Scott.
And by the way, it's not the copper, it's the sleeve. I've always said that. I don't care what the sleeve has in it. It's the sleeve that works, not the copper. What were we talking about? We were talking
about a lot.
Yeah. So off the air, Brad was saying that. So we were talking about Jameson Williams, who injured his ACL on national television during the championship game. Brad was saying, and you might want to repeat it for yourself, that if this was your son, you'd probably let him play, but you understand if someone didn't.
Yeah, I mean, because the likelihood of injury, the likelihood of injury in one game is going to be low, and it is the national championship game. But if I'm the agent or the parent or even the coach, and they say, you know what, I'm opting out to not play in this game, I'm not going to give them any slack. I'm not going to.
Me neither. I'm going to peel the curtain back a little bit, because there's a couple of things that the majority of people need to know. Often these guys have an insurance policy, especially top-rated players. They often have an insurance policy, maybe not for hundreds of millions, but they have an insurance policy.
Who pays for it?
Their agent, typically.
Okay.
Typically. And it's a kind of a disability policy against something like this happening. And then something else that I'm not very familiar with, because it's relatively new. Some of these top-ranked players are getting paid for their image and likeness, so that's relatively new. And I just kind of heard through conversations that I'm not sure that are very reliable, that a certain team, big name team, has a image and likeness deal on every one of their linemen.
Really?
Yeah, for like $1 million a year. So everybody in the line. Look, this is definitely a slippery slope.
You think?
So I'm just wondering if this young man had an insurance policy, also had a big image and likeness contract, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure.
But also, this is not a career-ending injury. Like you said, a 2022 repaired ACL, he's going to come back fine, gets drafted,
right,
still gets paid the rookie contract rate,
yep,
and plays the next year. Good conversation.
It is. Well, this is,
you can't get this anywhere else.
This is definitely sports medicine. I mean, this is what we do for a living. Now, we don't get involved in that decision. However, what if he was nursing an Achilles? Durant.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation? Durant, when he played for Golden State, he was coming back from a calf injury, and it was the playoffs, and there was a conversation with his team as to whether he could come back or not, and he comes back and he blows out his Achilles, which probably is not related to the calf injury, but he threw the docs under the bus. This is what we do. What if our player was nursing a knee injury coming back? And then this happened. You think there's going to be a lawsuit involved?
Potentially.
Yeah. Anyway.
Speaking of, I'm curious if these agents are getting in on some of these, image and likeness deals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or if they're trying to bridge deals outside of, what is traditional, traditionally how they get paid from teams. Now they're probably trying to bridge, brand ambassador deals and all kind of stuff with their college athletes, with collegiate people now. It's crazy.
My understanding, and I'd love to hear what Genoval has to say. I don't know that he's listening this morning.
He is.
Oh, okay, good.
He just texted him.
I'd be very curious, because he's got two kids playing D1, and I want to know if they're being recruited to – I don't know how this works. I don't know how this works, but – what I was told, kind of whisper, is that every one of this team's linemen is getting $1 million a year.
Wow. You know, but I've heard from an agent, from a guy, said it's the wild, wild west out here now. With this whole image and likeness, they said it's, I mean, it's a free-for-all until they start to get some regulation in place.
What was the situation with Primetime? He's a coach, and he got the top recruit. Pulled him away from Florida State.
From Florida State, from his alma mater.
And there was, you know, all kinds of controversy about that, and it turns out the kid's getting a huge image and likeness deal, and, you know.
Well, and you add that to this new transfer portal, college sports is all over the place right now.
Yeah, I still prefer college sports, but it's becoming more and more pro. Shifting
gears. Are we talking about Clay Thompson? Are we talking about Clay Thompson today?
Well, we only have an hour, and it was on my list, but it was in the bottom of my list.
Yeah, I noticed he didn't play last night.
Oh, he didn't?
Really?
Is he not playing in back-to-backs?
I don't know. Maybe that's a part of the rehab thing.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what I do want to talk about.
I already know.
I give a couple of shout-outs to – this has been a particularly banner week for the number of fans of the show that we have seen in the clinic. A shout out to Patricia and Ruby and a whole bunch of other people that I'm not going to mention, but it's flattering. And you get feedback immediately because they're telling you what they like and what they don't like. For example, Matt was talking to Brad about how much he dislikes the new format because it's hard to get in and get a call in. I get that. Ruby seems to like the format, and she's been listening for 20 years. And one of the interesting things that she brought up, she goes, as much as you hate the business of medicine, we love it.
Oh, I love it.
So the next segment, Scott's going to bring up the business of medicine.
Yeah.
Much to my chagrin. Oh, Genoval's on the phone. Hey, let's talk to him real quick before we go on break. Good morning, Genoval. You there? Genoval. You there?
Technical.
Technical. Push the button. There you go. Good morning, bud.
Good stuff.
Hey, what's up?
Well, no, the boys, not that I know of, are not getting the NIL money. They've been approached, but there is a school where the whole the whole offensive line is getting paid. I can't particularly remember. I know Iowa had a kid donate all of his NIL money to a bunch of kids from his neighborhood.
What does the NIL stand for?
I'm not sure, but I know it's dollar sign.
Name, image, likeness.
Name, image, likeness. Name, all right. Image, likeness.
I believe this. My biggest problem with this is this. The coaches can leave in the middle of the night and go and do whatever they want to do. These coaches are not playing. These kids are putting their bodies on the line.
Look,
I don't know how many coaches that you guys come in your office and you fixing their ACLs and MCLs and ruptured tendons and that.
Yeah. Well, so here, look, you brought this up before, and I agree with you 100%. I'm not a big fan of coaches. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a Notre Dame guy because that's where my kids went. I'm not a big fan of what Brian Kelly did, but in the coaching world, in my opinion, it's all about the dollars. And it's not been that way for the kids, and they're the ones taking the risk. Well, now with this name, image, and likeness thing, I'm not sure how this levels the playing field. I don't know. There's just so much about this stuff that I don't know about, Genoval. But my question is, if it was the national championship, okay, would you let your kids play?
Depending on his draft status.
Okay, top draft pick, first rounder.
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
All right. But look, that's good to know. That's good to know. Hey, look,
but that's my opinion. I know my child, he's going to play. Most linemen are going to play.
Yeah, I know.
Now, if you're running linemen. Back or wide receiver, linemen are going to play because there are a lot of linemen who are going to be high draft picks that played in that game.
Yep.
Because they're treated different.
Well, their injury rates are different. All right, we have to go on a quick little break, and then we're going to come back. So I want you to hold for a bit, okay?
All right.
All right, Inside Sports Medicine, T.O. Sorrell, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal, coming right back.
Inside Sports Medicine with Dr. T.O. Sorrell, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Dr. Sorrell's comments are meant for informational and educational purposes only, and not as a treatment. His comments are not a substitute for a visit with your doctor. And now, Dr. T.O. Sorrell.
When I get to the bottom, I'll go back to the top of the slide.
We're back.
I don't recognize the music.
I think it is.
Yeah. What are we listening to?
I don't know what we're listening to. Is that the Beatles still?
Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter. All right. I guess I missed the opening part.
All right.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Sorrell, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal. We love the fact that you're joining us this morning so early on this blustery day in North Texas. All right. So Sharon does not want us to talk about it. Sharon, all due respect, this is part of sports medicine. What do you think we're doing when we leave here? We're leaving here to evaluate 40 guys who've got hurt playing in these games.
I'm at our office right now. I'm in room 1, by the way.
All right. So we're going to shift gears to another aspect of business of medicine. Brad, I'm running this by you cold turkey. I ran it by T.O. earlier. So
yeah.
I ran across my kid's pediatric office. Is starting to charge an additional charge for visits called, what did I call it, an administrative charge? Something like that.
Yeah, administrative charge. So
I asked what that is. And he said, well, you know, with the pandemic and all the stuff, it's all this extra PPE that we have to get and all these extra measures for our office. And my first gut impression was, number one, I don't know if you can do that with your insurance contracts. On the other hand, by calling it an administrative charge, it's not a medical service, so you probably can. My other gut was, ew, didn't sit well with me. And then I thought, well, maybe we should consider doing that, because certainly the pandemic has caused us incremental costs that we didn't have before. So right. The upshot is, I don't know how I feel about that. So I wanted to run that by you guys and see what you thought of that.
What's the visit? They're calling it an administrative. But
so
like,
you
what,
play,
what
you
happens?
Do your visit. They charge insurance, this and that. And by the way, there's an extra $10. Give us your credit card for your visit. Administrative.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is something we've talked about before, which is the fact that yearly insurances will increase premiums. I mean, as a consumer of insurance, my premiums went up this year, right? But being on the other end of that as a physician, the reimbursement has not gone up at all for the things that for the procedures, the injections and stuff that I do, that insurance, you know, tries to say that they cover. So, you know, first thing I'm thinking is they're trying to bridge the gap that continues to widen between, you know, premiums going up, but physicians' reimbursement staying the same. I just don't know if that's the way to go about it, is just an extra administrative cost.
Look, when Scott first mentioned it to me, the administrative fee, I thought, what? And I thought exactly the same thing he did. Is this even legal? And Then I thought, wow, maybe we should all be doing
that. Yeah, I know.
Well, PPE is just one aspect of it. The remainder is that all this supply chain thing is affecting everybody. It's affecting medical practices just like it affects the mechanic, just like it affects everybody. And all of our costs are up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has gone up. And yet, you know, and I'm not picking on Blue Cross, but all the insurance companies, their reimbursement hasn't changed. So
if anything, it's gone down.
So if the contract says it's $22 for an X-ray, that has not changed. And while everything else, while the cost of taking an X-ray has gone up. So, mm-hmm. you know, no other business am I aware of can you not pass along these increased costs to the client. I think administrative fee is
and it's interesting.
Clever.
It would be a way to skirt the whole concept of a contract with an insurance, you know, with your contracts with, for example, Blue Cross. And it actually interfaces well with what we were talking about with the NIL, with the athletes.
It's name just and likeness, yeah.
It's a way to get players money that previously you couldn't do. Now it's a way to, we've got an NIL contract for you. So, you know, the good players are getting paid big money now.
You know, I've always been uncomfortable with the business of medicine because I've not had a solution. And a few months ago, I thought of a possible solution. You know, back in the olden days, it used to be something called reasonable and customary, and your reimbursement was based on what the average charge was in your zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned to people that when we first started practicing, you buy a book every year, and the book basically had all the different zip codes in Texas broken down and what the average charges were for an X-ray or for an office visit or for a stuffy nose or whatever. And that was what the insurance companies used to reimburse you, reasonable customary. Well, fast forward 20 years, and it is now, this is what we allow. This is the allowed amount for a stuffy nose. This is the allowed amount for an X-ray. And that's fine. You know, obviously they can do it. Because it's not negotiable. But the fix is allow Dr. Blumenthal to charge whatever he wants to charge. The allowed amount is X.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient has the option of filling in the gap or going to somebody else that may be less expensive and less trained. Just allow the ability to balance bill.
That's the way they do it in Australia.
That's the way they do it everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. And my gut is that's going to happen. Now, whether it happens in our lifetime or not, I don't know. But my gut is that that's going to happen. If the allowed amount for an X-ray is $25 and you've got a fancy 3T X-ray machine, I'm just making that up, then and you want to charge $50, it's up to the patient to decide whether they want to come to you and pay the extra $25 or not. Now, maybe that's too simple a fix, but if it's good enough for the rest of the world, it probably ought to work for us, and it should even the allowed amount makes no sense if you're paying Dr. X, who just graduated last week, the same as you're paying Dr. Blumenthal, who invented a procedure and has done 3,000 of them. That makes no sense to me.
I just got to tell a story so that people understand this. And every time we talk about this, I'm going to say this every single time. And Scott, you can feel me on this, is that insurance does not incentivize your doctor to be great. I mean, that's just basically what it comes down to. I saw a patient who came in as a second opinion for me to do a hip injection. They got a hip injection elsewhere, and it, quote unquote, didn't work. I asked the patient, well, what was the experience like? It's like, well, he just kind of blindly injected into my hip. Now, me and the guys who are on the show right now, we know you can't blindly inject a hip. The likelihood of getting inside a hip joint with an injection, it's not going to work. Once she experienced like how we did it, and then she had immediate relief, here's the deal. The guy who just injected the hip blindly got reimbursed the same that I did for more work, for quality work.
And he missed the joint altogether.
See, that doesn't incentivize anyone to be great whenever he it just tries to level the playing field. So you just have to understand that that's what that insurance card is doing in your wallet.
All right, quick little break. Inside Sports Medicine coming back after this relatively short break. Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Suriel here, Brad Ballard, Scott Blumenthal.
What does this remind you of, this song?
I don't know.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You know, I never saw it all the way through.
It's a classic.
And
Bueller.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's Brad does.
Yeah, I've seen enough of it to know what Scott's talking about, for sure.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. So, Klay Thompson coming back from injury. So let's talk about that. That is often one of the most difficult calls for sports medicine specialists, and that is to determine when they're medically ready and when they're athletically ready. And we're faced with this essentially with every single patient we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether little Cindy's ready to go back and play tennis after an ACL, or
is this
whether
the same little Cindy from last week?
Yeah, it's the same little Cindy.
Same little Cindy from last week.
We need a new name.
All right. Or is Klay Thompson coming back from ACL and Achilles? It is extraordinarily difficult call to determine when they're ready. And there have been situations where the docs felt that the player's medically cleared. We talked about this last week. But the player didn't feel like he was ready. And that's legit. I have no problem with that. Say, look, your Achilles is as good as it's going to get. And then the player says, but I don't feel like I'm confident yet. I absolutely get that. But those are two separate calls. Those are two separate calls. There is, all right, this is your ACL is as good as it's going to get. Your strength is back to baseline. But can you drive the lane? Can you plant? Can you cut? Can you do a 360 slam dunk? Those are all basketball questions, and we don't get involved in that. We shouldn't get involved with that. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I can speak from someone who's had Achilles surgery from you, by the way.
Self-promotion, be careful, flag.
I had to have several of those moments,
right,
where when I started playing, I started cutting. I felt like something happened, and I froze and was like, and then realized, like, oh, no, it's okay, right? Like, I had to have several of those happen before I felt confident. And the interesting thing about Klay is that he had, I can't remember which one was first. It was the ACL.
ACL first,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he ever really got his feet under him again from that when the Achilles ruptured. So he's almost got, you know, it's like just in his mind, like double both the knee and the Achilles, that he's got to get that confidence when he's planting and cutting and feels like something happens, but it didn't, and then he can kind of move past that. As an athlete, you got to have those moments where you're coming back from injury, you cut, you plant, you feel like maybe something happened, but it didn't, and then you're like, okay, well, I can. It's just more of a confidence booster as you continue to go. I don't know if he ever really had that from the initial injury.
In football, the guys all talk about getting that first hit,
mm-hmm,
after you come back.
Yeah.
Getting that first hit, and then you get up and say, all right, I'm still in one piece. Look, the last thing to come back, I always tell my patients there are two things. Speed. Your speed's going to be the last thing to come back from an ACL or an Achilles. That's a measure of explosiveness. And confidence. And I can't help you with the confidence part.
How often when you were supervising the medical care on the Mavericks, and you had to do a surgery and went through rehab. Did you pop over to practice to see, okay, let's just see how they look in practice before we, to see if we're on schedule for whatever you said you can return?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
I would think that would be invaluable.
You have to see how the player moves.
Mm.
And it was so important to me. In fact, I find, like you said, it was part of the recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at Texas Sports Medicine, we have a little basketball court downstairs in rehab. And it's not at all unusual for us to watch and see how the guys are jumping and how the guys are running to do a layup.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're favoring that leg, they're not ready.
Yeah.
They're just not ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, this is...
Well, it was good to see him back. He seems like a good guy. I don't know him personally.
Likeable.
Yeah, definitely.
Likeable.
Clay is definitely a likable guy. But to see him come back, to see, you know, to be at home and the crowd going wild. And, Scott, you and I were talking about it. I mean, he had a phenomenal, you know, first game back.
Yeah.
Between dunking and shooting threes and... I mean, he almost looked like a better Clay than he was before he left. And people forget just how great that guy is, man. He's got records on how many points have been scored in a quarter, how many points have been scored within a certain amount of minutes. He's got records, man.
And three-pointers. I think he's got some three-pointer record in a game also.
You know, yeah.
I would say the whole Golden State team likable.
Oh, yeah.
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 So I did hear. So we don't have much longer.
Oh my goodness!
But I did hear something that I found very disturbing. They asked Steph if he thought the 2017 Warriors team would beat the 96 Bulls team, and he, without even hesitating, he said yes.
You know, and so many people, players, ex-players, have chimed in.
I know
it created a Twitter war.
It's a huge discussion. You know, but
people take it so seriously.
Oh, I know. Well,
it's an unanswerable question.
It is unanswerable.
I mean, it's just beating your chest.
It's a different game.
Yeah.
It's a different game.
Well,
you know,
it's a different game. And by the way, they did not win the championship that year, even though they had a better regular season.
Yeah, was that the 72 win team?
Yeah.
I think it was a 72 win team. Wait, they didn't win a championship?
No, I don't think they won that year.
Oh, well, I don't remember. It's a long time ago. But that was a really great discussion.
I love arguing unanswerable questions.
Yeah, who's better, Michael Jordan or Bill Russell?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that. Yeah.
yeah. Good stuff. This is a good show.
Yeah. So are we going to mix with the golf gods?
If you like to.
Did you say golf gods or golf gods?
Yes, he did. Aptly a name too.
I've always called you the golf gods.
All right.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm glad you want to mix because I have an issue.
Ooh.
I have a question. You have an issue. I have a question.
Okay.
So
you go first.
We often
issue versus question.
We always talk about the business of medicine. I want to learn about the business of the PGA in maybe 30 seconds. Do these guys get paid for being in the tournament? Or you have to win something.
This is pay for play. Now the only difference is their level of sponsor money, especially the top 25 guys. The top 10 guys make more money off the course than they do on the course.
Okay, all right. I get the sponsor part, but so if you're the 240th guy to play in Byron Nelson, you don't get paid by the PGA?
Well, there are only 125 players play in each event.
All right, if you're the 125th guy,
if you don't make
you
the
get
cut,
nothing.
If you don't make
you
the
get
cut,
nothing.
Half the players don't make anything.
So if you make the cut,
not only that, you got to pay for your caddy.
Mm-hmm.
Got to pay to get there.
Wow.
Where you stay?
Got to pay to stay there. So, the pressure of making a 3-foot putt's a little bit higher when it comes to stuff like that, especially not to win the tournament, but to make the cut.
Now, the difference is if they play over in Dubai or somewhere else, it used to be the Euro Tour events, they got appearance fees.
Yeah, so those are exhibitions, kind of.
Well, no, not really.
They still got world ranking points.
They got world rankings. So Tiger was making about $3 million an appearance. I'm sure Bryson and those guys are making a DJ. They're all playing in Saudi Arabia. And it's a big controversy right now because it's kind of like blood money.
Yeah.
If you look at all the stuff that's going on over there. and they're kind of going, well, it, you know, we're not political. We're just money hungry.
Yeah.
And so
name, image, and likeness.
Yep. So it's about $2 million for that. And it doesn't matter what they do once they get there. They're getting $2 million up front or $1 million or whatever, however big their star star is. So
I did hear about that. All right, well, that clears it up because I wasn't sure whether, you know, you got your expenses paid by the PGA or what.
Nope.
Oh, interesting. All right, so what's your issue?
Okay, so I was fortunate enough to graduate from the University of Georgia.
Congratulations.
And I actually went to the game on Monday.
Congratulations.
And but when you get there and do whatever, I got to the stadium at 5 o'clock. I was gonna see everything, do everything. Standing for 7 straight hours. You know, every so often I'd sit whenever.
Your knees hurt or your back hurt? Is that what you're...
Oh, my God. I've never had a knee problem in my entire life. My knees are killing me.
Yeah, well,
I didn't do anything, right? This is just...
Standing there.
Yeah.
Morphine.
So talk to Scott Blumenthal about standing in the OR for 7 hours to do a complicated disc case.
That's... So do you guys ever wear, like, knee braces or something?
I mean,
just
should
to
I,
take the
should I do something?
Off?
Should I put a knee brace on? Or I'm sure I didn't tear an ACL standing.
No.
It's an itis.
It's an itis?
Yes. Can you stretch a ligament, though, just because if you're kind of locked, you got your knee locked all that time? Or
No. So typically what this is, because I guess we all experience it when you get to of a certain age and you're standing there doing a four-hour ACL. I think it's a fatigue issue. So your muscles kind of get tired and fatigue, and the load, instead of it being shared by the quads, hams, and calves, is just right on the knee. And there's something to be said for not moving it. You know, if you could move, like go get a Coke or a beer from time to time, you wouldn't hurt as much. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a fatigue issue, and what that should tell you is you probably ought to start riding a stationary bike or something.
Thanks for that. I was going to ask Brad if there's something I should do, and freaking Dr. Surreal just told me I'm out of shape.
Okay, my new favorite infomercial.
What is that?
For old people, you sit down, and it's a stationary little
bicycle
pedal.
Have you just now seen it? You've just now seen it?
I just started seeing it. And usually a Golf Channel has all old stuff.
Dude, that's been around for like 20 years. My mother has it.
A long time.
Well, does it work? Because these people are all, they look like hell. I mean, they're all
fat. 600 pounds. How much more can you do than that?
Yeah, but what does that do?
At least you're doing something.
Is it?
So
Dr. Sarah just told me to get on an exercise bike.
I'm just saying you're sitting down, you're kind of and they're reading a book and they're half pedaling, and I'm thinking I don't even know what the cost was, but I just laughed because it just looks so stupid.
So here's the thing, and this is gold. So write this down. Sharon, if you're still listening, this is gold. Motion is good, impact is bad. So moving a joint is good because it lubricates it. And, yeah, I think they're getting – now, are they burning calories? Probably not. But the movement of the joint, whether you're doing it in a pool or doing it on that little apparatus or whatever, it's good. Impact is bad. So if you're moving your knee because you're going to walk 10 miles or 10,000 steps and you've got some predisposition, probably not a good idea. But yeah, I look at that thing and I laugh and I think, you know what, it could work.
I wonder how many of those are at future garage sales.
I know
every other exercise apparatus I see out there, you know.
I know one for sure in Huntsville, Texas that my mom's never used.
Just thinking, you know, it comes out of a doctor's. My wife hates the words like lubricate and moist.
Right.
It comes out of a doctor, it's okay.
Well, yeah, now it's clinical.
Yeah.
Well, it is clinical. There's I'm taking this back a different place, by the way, you guys.
Thank you.
Us back to midline.
Is it?
Yeah. Motion is good. Impact is bad. You heard it here.
And motion with lubrication is really good.
Oh, jeez. Double
in with that.
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
It's medical. Ever. It's
best
all medical.
Best mix ever. This has to be in our greatest hits tape right here.
Oh, my goodness. You can you see my red face on?
No, I'll just picture it.
On the radio?
Yeah. All right. We need to sign off. You guys have a great show.
You do. See. Have a good weekend.
On behalf of all of us here on Inside Sports Medicine, The Ticket, don't forget, you can see Dr. Blumenthal at Center for Disc Replacement. You can see us at Texas Sports Medicine. Until next week, on behalf of all of us here,
tell your friends.